Let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 1. Last week we talked about not forgetting what God has done, what all the blessings, all our benefits that are in God. We're going to talk about another facet of that today. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Now we're going to get back to that. Why don't we just read a little bit more? "The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel." Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children." Now somebody said that, pities, the word pities, it's not like, oh, poor thing. It's like you would, like if you had a little doggy on your lap, in your petting the doggy and just loving on the doggy. That's what that word means. You know, He just takes care of you. He looks at you with compassion. "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him." He cares for us. He looks upon us. He cherishes us. "For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust." See, God's not surprised when we do stupid things or when we don't do everything right. He knew that from the beginning. He knows. He made us. He's not surprised. Doesn't mean we go off and be stupid for the sake of being stupid or think, well, God's grace is sufficient, so I'm just going to go out and do whatever. That's stupidity. That's trampling on the blood of Jesus. On the other hand, if we think that we got to do everything, we got to toe this line in order for God's blessings to flow completely in our lives, that's on the other ditch. Because God knows, that's why He sent Jesus. If we didn't need a Savior, Jesus didn't have to die. But Jesus did have to die because we needed a Savior and we can't do it ourselves. And God knows that He knows our frame and He remembers that we are dust. It says, "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, it is gone, and its place remembers it no more." It's the way our life is. We are eternal. We are eternal beings, but our life on this earth, we're over. Just like He said, "For the wind passes over a flower, and it's gone." God has been there from the beginning, everlasting to everlasting. That's our Father. But while we're on this earth, it's very short, and then we're going to go on to eternity to be with Him. Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them." Thank God. I just wanted to read a little bit of that psalm. That's an awesome, it's just remembering who God is. God remembers who we are. He knows who we are. That's why He sent Jesus. But back in verses, the first five verses is a sum up of the gospel, the summation of the gospel. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." This is a psalm of David. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities," that were washed in the blood of Jesus. This is prior, looking forward to the Messiah. But, you know, they had a limited covenant back here, but He forgives all our iniquities. Today we have Jesus, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So last week we focused on that. Verse 2, it says, "Forget not all His benefits." You know, we said how, you know, we might not literally forget. If I asked you, you know, so what benefits do you have in Christ? You might be able to list some for me. We're not talking about mentally forgetting. We're talking about when you go out and you're in the middle of your job and everything's looking bad and it's not going the way you want it, or somebody, you know, coworker is being a jerk and you feel like, you know, I just want out of here. What do you believe at that point? What do you act like you believe? Have you forgotten who God is in practical terms? Yeah, you could. If I came up to you in the middle of your job, you know, and asked you, hey, so how's it going? And anyway, do you believe this and this about God? You could probably tell me some things that are in the Bible, but when nobody's there, what's going on in your head? Have you forgotten his benefits? And at that point, so we talk a little bit. We don't want to forget his benefits. We don't want to forget all the things that Jesus died to provide for us. And so we talked about some of the things, you know, stirring ourselves up. And reading the Word, and you know, the Word is the source of everything that we believe. All of our doctrine is a source. But then sometimes we have to stir ourselves up. We're going to read that scripture again, and then you know, just coming to church. I don't know how many times, you know, through my Christian walk, the different places I've been, where I'm needing something, kind of like what Noel was just saying at the beginning. You know, You need something, or even you've gotten off that week or whatever the situation, or you're facing a trial or any number of things, and you come to church, and it's not the pastor per se as a man, but it's the way God works through his church and the gifts he's put in the church and what he's put in his word and the Holy Spirit moving that gets you your need met. Now, that doesn't substitute for our personal relationship with God, no, but it's a supplement, you know? It's just another part of the Christian life that we come and we get stirred up, or somebody says something to bless us and to help us. It's, God said, forsake not the gathering together of ourselves, especially as you say that see the day approaching. There's so many things that we can do to make sure we're not forgetting all his benefits. And so we talked about a few of those things, and I want to talk about something else today. I want to talk about remembering our past victories, remembering what God has done for you, remembering the things, stirring yourself up to remember the things that he has done. You know, it's one thing to speak the word and what God's promises are. It's another thing to say, and God did this for me, and I remember when, and to bring yourself back to how he has been faithful in the past. That is one of the quickest ways to build your faith and get your mind back to where it needs to be, to remember what God has done, because nobody can steal your testimony. Nobody can steal, you know, what God has done in your life. They may say it was a coincidence. They may say, oh, that was just, you know, that wasn't God. That was just circumstance. But you know when God does something in your life. If you've been a Christian, you know that God does something. You know that wasn't orchestrated by man. You know that was God working. Now, somebody else may looking in saying, ah, that's just coincidence. But you know what was going on. You know there was no way that was coincidence and it was God. And nobody can take those things away from you. And in the midst of trials, nobody, you look back and say, I know that was God. Devil, you don't have to talk to the devil. Sometimes you have to talk to the devil. You just stir yourself and say, that was God. I know God did that for me. So that's some of the surest ways. See, that's personal. You can read the word, and the word is our anchor. But your testimony can stir you up to see what God has done. Look back and say, God will do that in the future. See, you can't draw faith from somebody else's testimony. You only can get faith from the Word. See, you can't get faith from, if I tell you what God did in my life, you don't get faith from that. But it can stir you up to use the faith you have that's based on the Word. See, it can encourage you. See, just because God did something for me, you can't say, I believe God will do that for me too. See, nothing. Whose promise do you have that's going to happen? You don't have any promise. But if you're believing for healing, you know the Word of God says that by His stripes you were healed. You know that it says that He took all our sicknesses and infirmities on the cross. You know the Word, and somebody gets up and tells you how they were healed of cancer. Now you can say that's God performing His Word. I'm going to believe. I'm going to use the faith that I have based on God's Word because I believe God, but you just encouraged me to, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm going to go on and believe God. See the difference? But you for yourself, you don't get faith in your own life for God being faithful from your testimony, but it stirs you up to get back to the Word and say, that's true. God's done it there. He'll do it again. Just like I was believing God back there and He came through, He'll come through here. And we just have to do that, you know, for ourselves at times. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1. We read this last week, but let's read it this week. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Therefore I remind you." See, obviously Timothy had heard it before. But that doesn't mean, and he's a pastor, he doesn't mean he doesn't need to be reminded. It doesn't mean we don't need, just because we've heard something doesn't mean we don't need to be reminded. He says, "Therefore I remind you." See, you know. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, Timothy, but I'm reminding you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he's telling him, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Obviously, he's going through something that he could be fearful, and Paul's just bringing him back to his training, telling him, "You do what you've been taught to do. Remind yourself, stir yourself up. Don't be fearful. Believe God." Thank God. Let's turn over to 2 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent." He calls our bodies a tent, just like we were talking about, just like a flower of the field. Tent's not a brick building. The tent's not forever. A tent, you sit it up, you tear it down, it's gone. Peter knows he's going to be going on to be with the Lord right now. But he says, as long as I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Not going to go off on that, but we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. This tent is going to go back and be in the ground and turn to dust, just like it started out as. It's going to go back, but our spirit will live forever. We are spirits. We are eternal. We are not bodies. But Peter says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, even though you know." Back in verse 12, "even though you know and are established in this present truth." Just like Paul said to Timothy, "I'm reminding you." Sometimes we have to remind ourselves. See, he's talking in context that I'm going to remind you of the things you need to know. Like we talked about last week, coming to church. Sometimes, yeah, I know I don't, everything I preach isn't just revelation new. No, it's the Word of God, but we need to go over it. And it's a word in due season, and that's what, you know, a pastoral gift. This Word is not for the people that are out there on the street right now. It's for the people that are in this room, all of us. God does that. See, I don't know what you're going through in your life. But as I prepare and go before God and bring what I believe I'm supposed to, God does something supernaturally where He'll meet the needs of the people through the pastor in a different, like I said, it's not in place of our personal relationship, but all of us need that to be nourished by that, and we'll be reminded of things. Oh, I knew that, but that's what I need to be doing. I knew that, but I let it slip. That's what I need to be doing. And God does that, and he helps each one of us, and it's nothing any man can take credit for. It's supernatural. It's the gift of God. It's the grace of Almighty God. But at the same time, so he's talking about that he will, he'll be faithful to stir up, or I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. So he's talking about reminding these people, but you can't be negligent to stir yourself up and to remind yourself of what God has done in your life. That's our focus today, of what God has done in your life, your testimony, the things He's done to be faithful to you, to go back and to remind yourself and to recount. You know, you don't have to do it any certain way, but if you write certain things down, sometimes it's good just to write things down in a journal or somewhere in a notebook. I had a notebook, you know, I was in college, I'd write certain things down. And I have those, and once in a while I'll go back and look at when I, you know, before I met Shelley, I wrote down certain things about that. And just different parts in my life, you know, where you can look back and see how God was faithful. And you might have forgotten the details, but you go back and it just stirs you up and you say, "Man, I was just thinking about some certain things earlier this week. I was reading a book, and it just reminded me of some things many years ago. How some things happened. And it was just like, you know, I just brought back. It was just the presence of God was there. I mean, I don't mean to be woo-woo. I was in the library. But, you know, you can tell it, the presence of God is just there. And you're just like, you're there, but you're not there, and just thinking. And it was just the peace of God. They're just thinking about certain things that God had done. And just being encouraged by that. But God has done things for each of us, and we'll just go back and remind ourselves. It'll stir ourselves up to have faith, or to use the faith that we have. Now let's just read a few places in Psalm. David. I want to talk about David a little bit. David did this. From the time he was young, he did this. A lot of the Psalms we have today are because they are written by David. Let's turn to Psalm 63. David went through a lot of stuff. But he would consistently remind himself of who God was and what he had done in his life. Let's turn to Psalm 63, verse 6. It says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." He says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate you on you in the night watches. I'm thinking about you. I'm placing my mind on you. I'm thinking about how you've helped me. In the next verse, he says, because you have been my help. He's thinking about the Lord. He's thinking about God. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Under his wings. What a picture. We're under the wings of our Father God. He's got us under, just like a little chick or whatever. You know, he's got us under his wings. And he's protecting us and he's upholding us. Verse 8, my soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Let's turn over to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 11. It says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate, just to think, meditate. Not some weird word, it just means to think on, to talk about, just kind of go over and over, just to think about stuff. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. That means think about this. Just stop. When you ever see that word, it's just sit there, think about what was just written. He's saying, just I think about the things you've done, your wonders of old. Meditate on all your work. I put my mind on those things. I put my mind of what you've done, how you've saved us. Verse 15, you have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Let's turn over to Psalm 138. This is just David throughout his life stirring himself up. We see him so many times when he's in trouble. Psalm 138:1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. In the day I cried out, you answered me. Have you ever cried out to God? and he answered you. You cried out to God. It may not that you literally cried out loud, but inside you were crying out to God. God, I need an answer here. I don't know what to do here. God, what am I going to do about this situation? You were crying out, and God answered you. That's when you go back and think about those things. The devil says, one of his favorite lines is, that's fine, but it's not going to happen this time. How many times will we fall for that same stupid line? God has this string of victories behind you. He's done all these things. But the devil, one of his favorite things is to say, oh yeah, that's fine, but he's not going to do it this time. But just pay attention to what he's telling you while you're going. See, he's telling you that now, as he did while you were going through all these things back here. Now, he's telling you that now. Now, when you get through it, it's over, and God's come through again. Now he'll say, yeah, that's fine, you made it through here, but you're not going to make it through the next thing. But notice what he was saying while you were going through the thing. He said you weren't going to make it. He's a liar. Over and over, he tried that same line. You know, you're not going to make it through here. But it's fine. Okay, fine. You made it through. You skipped by. God came through. Whatever. You're not going to make it through here. He'll tell you you're not going to make it through all the way till God brings you over again. Okay, fine. You got that one. But you're not going to make it here. We just need to stand up and say, God has done this. You told me he wouldn't do it. He did it. Here, he did this. Here, he did this. Here, he did this. And you know what? He's going to do it here. And we just get bold and say it. He wants to make us timid and back into a corner like, well, yeah, I don't know. We never know what's going to happen. No, God is faithful. The sun came up this morning in our situation. He did it here, 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 here. He will do it here. Otherwise, he's going to break his word. If God breaks his word, all this is worthless. If we can't depend on the word of God, and we can't depend on him and that he's going to be the same yesterday and today and forever, if that's all just words, then who knows if Jesus ever existed? And if he existed, who knows if they didn't just, you know, take his body up in the grave and go burn it so that they could create some folk tale that just is passed down over and over that he's the Son of God, but really it's just stories. If we can't believe the word of God and stand on it in our own lives, it's just rubbish. We are to be pitied because we are going in this direction, living our whole lives thinking that God is something and there's no God and there's just all this and we're just dumb people. No, God is faithful and this is the word of God and we can stand on it. And when he has done something in the past for us, he will do it today. He will do it. He might not do it the same way. Don't make the mistake of thinking he acted one way, so therefore I know, and put him in a box and think it's got to be this way. And then when it doesn't look exactly like that, we start wigging out and thinking, what's going on? Where's God? Well, God's not in a box. God's not limited. Just believe in the faithfulness of God. Just believe that he is who he is. Don't forget all his benefits. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. Just because it doesn't look like it did last year at this time, just because it doesn't look like it did last time you were in the same situation. Just a little farther down in Psalm 138, let's see, verse 7. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. See, notice, this is David. This isn't David, you know, now, looking back at himself. This is David, just like you and me, when he's going through it. And he's declaring the word, evidently writing it down, or somebody's writing it down for him. He's saying, you know, what has happened? Like back in verse 3, in the day I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength of my soul. Now in verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. See, he said what God has done, and now he's saying what God will do. He at verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. You see what he's doing. David isn't magic. He isn't somebody, you know, that he's just flesh and blood. Obviously, he made huge, huge mistakes in his life. But he believed God and he kept his eyes back on God. And God said he was a man after his own heart. We can have that same attitude. God, you've done this for me. See, in our lives, it's so easy to say, well, I know what that, you know, what David did, but somehow we get this idea, or we can start thinking, even though we wouldn't, say it like this, but that they're special, or they knew what was going to happen to them. Somehow, you know, they knew they were going to be delivered. The only way they knew it is because God, they had God's word, but they didn't know what their life was going to be. It's like, you know, you think Joseph knew he was going to be second in command when he was in prison. No, he didn't. He's in prison. He has no clue what's going to happen other than that he knows God's faithful. So in our lives, just don't make the mistake of thinking, well, if it looked different, then I'd believe God. Don't go by that. Say just that we're talking about just remembering what God has done. Say, well, back here, it didn't look like God was coming through, but he came through. Back here, it didn't look like God was coming through, but he came through. He did what he said, and I'm going to stir myself up to believe that God will save. Like it says in verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. And to speak it out in boldness, you will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and you, your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Now let's turn back to Samuel 17. Samuel 17, we're not going to go into this a lot, but that's a fun chapter to read. We're all familiar with this story. But it just reads well. Just, you know, you read this story to children, and it just reads well. 1 Samuel 17, David and Goliath. We're not going to read the whole thing. I mean, that's a place you could spend a lot. You can go a lot of different directions in Samuel, talking about faith. There's basically, you know, some of the stuff we're talking about today. So, you know, you know the scenario. This huge giant. Somebody that we probably couldn't even imagine. You look at some of the basketball players, the really beefed out basketball players, about, you know, like somebody like Shaq or somebody is probably about the closest thing we have, but they're not, you know, still 7 foot something or 7 foot. That's not almost 10 foot and still that big. I mean, this guy was so big, and he's coming out and telling and basically saying before the Israelites every morning, all right, somebody come out and fight me. And if you fight me and beat me, we'll be your slaves. Otherwise, you're going to be our slaves. I mean, you imagine how big this guy is, and nobody would take him on. So that's what's going in on morning, day after day. So, you know, David comes down, and he sees this guy, and he hears him, and hears everything he has to say. And so in verse 26, 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, it says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? This guy, he's just a boy. He's a shepherd. He comes down, this man, and David evidently wasn't very tall. So he was a small man to begin with. And here's Goliath, and he and all these warriors train. I mean, he's a boy, and all these warriors are scared, out of their wits. And David comes up. And he says, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the manner saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. And goes on, tells him, you know, what's going to be done. He's going to be free from taxes. He's going to get the king's daughter. So on and so forth. But David's going around saying, what's going to be done? See, he's already got something. He sees. He knows what's going on. He's confident. God's obviously speaking to him or something that he can do something about this. So verse, let's go down to verse 31. It says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported him to Saul, the king. See, the king. If anybody should be going out, it should be the king or the greatest warrior. They should be going out and facing it, but they need some boy that believes God. They have, you know, Saul was not following after God. His heart was not after God. From the very beginning, he didn't do what God told him to do. He didn't do what the prophet told him to do. So they need some boy from all these warriors trained out there. They're not doing anything about standing up to this guy. They don't believe God, but David stands up and he believes God. He's talking to the king here. The king calls in a boy to do the job that probably he should be doing, or somebody that, you know, is close to him should be doing. Verse 31, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no one's heart fail because of him. Because of him, your servant will go and fight the Philistine. He's talking to the king. This little boy is coming in and saying, hey, king, don't worry. Don't let anybody get troubled. I'll take care of him. And he had boldness. He wasn't scared. 33, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. So the king knocks him down, says, you're not going to go fight him. This is the king telling him that. And he's just a boy. But David said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and I struck it and delivered that lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. See, he said he had a testimony. He knew where he was coming. He stood in the face of the king. The king told him, you're not able to do it. And he said, king, with all due respect, on the contrary, I faced a lion and a bear, and they were no match. I killed them, and this guy is going to be like one of them. See, he had a testimony, and he did not obviously forget it. He knew God was with him, and he was not ashamed, and he was not forgetful of those things. He knew God was with him. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. He changed the mind. Saul said, well, okay, that sounds good. You go. Go and fight him. The guy, the king, told him, you can't do this, kid. This guy's been training since he was your age. And look at him. Look at how big he is. You're not going to go fight him. And David came right back and said, buddy, I have fought the lion and the bear. I killed them. And this guy will be like one of them. I am going to go out and kill him. He has defied the armies of the living God. This should not be. I'm going. And the king turned around and said, all right, go. See, that's what we need to be like. See, things in our lives will be like, I mean, think about it. Think of this in realistic terms. The king of your nation, that'd be like you're hyped up to go do something. The president of the United States says, no, you're not. Somebody dignitary. You name it in your life, somebody who you respect, whom you respect, or some circumstance in your life is telling you, you're not going to do it. See, you have the word of the Lord, or you have, You believe you're going in the right direction with God. And you're saying, I'm going to go this way. But then circumstance or things around you or somebody's telling you, no, you're not. See, David came right back to where he had been and he said, yes, I will. Because God has done this for me and he's done this for me and this will be no different. See, that's what we need to do. Devil tries to knock you down, circumstances try to knock you down and say, and try to get you to forget what God has done for you and all the things he has put in place, whatever the circumstances is. We need to say, no, God has done this for me, and he's done this for me, and he does this for me, and not only that, I'm not going to rest here, he will do this for me. This situation will be like these situations. Just like these situations went down and God brought me through, the same will happen here. Call those things that be not as though they were. Before the fact. See, when the devil tries to get us to turn our minds away from all the benefits of serving God, turn our minds away, oh, God's not going to heal you, or God's not, you know, you've messed up too much this time, or, you know, God's mad at you, or whatever, that go against what God has said, we go back, we stir ourselves up, we use the word, we remind ourselves of where God has brought us, and we go forward in confidence that God is faithful, and he will be faithful to us now. Amen. That's one of the tools that we have, and that is one of the most effective things we can do is to stir ourselves up, is to remind ourselves of what God has done. Thank God.